The theme, I always have to have a theme song, you know. And the theme song for this particular teaching that we've been doing is, "What a Friend We Have in Jesus." Now, this is what it says in the third verse. I read the other two earlier. The third verse says this: "Are we weak and heavily burdened, comforted by a load of care? Precious Savior, still our refuge, take it to the Lord in prayer. Do thy friends despise and forsake thee? Take it to the Lord in prayer. In his arms he'll take and shield thee there. Thou wilt find solace there." Wow. Well, we've been reading Proverbs, and we've been reading some of the other scriptures, but Jesus is your, not only your friend, but he is your wisest friend. The wisdom of God that's been granted to us. In Proverbs chapter 9, verse 10, it says this: "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One is understanding." Now, that word fear is better translated love, reverence, and awe. So the love of the Lord, or the reverence of the Lord, but it's reported as the fear of the Lord, not to be afraid of him, but to love and to respect and to honor him. The Lord is the beginning of wisdom. I think fearing the Lord implies the kind of reverence that we already begun to discuss in a lot of our teachings over the last few years. But a lot of churches are filled with Christians who have had a born-again experience in the past, but haven't learned enough about the fearing of the Lord or the love of the Lord, especially when it comes down to embracing his faithful friendship. That's why it's wise to embrace the promise that we find in Psalm 25, verse 14. The friendship of the Lord is for those who fear him, or love him, or respect him. So sometimes, all of us, sometimes we want to keep arm's length away from godly things. Now, I don't know about you, but I experience that sometimes. I don't know if I want him to know too much about my business. I don't know. I don't know if I want him looking in my calendar. I don't know about our finances. I don't know. I don't know about the entertainment either. I think these are all natural characteristics of all of us when we have that relationship with God. I don't know if I want God to know too much about me. We may seem to think that it would diminish our life, but that's not the truth. The truth is, he knows everything about you anyhow. You don't need to hide anything with God. And I think sometimes that we need to recognize that following Jesus doesn't lead to a burdensome life. A list of religious duties or activities or membership requirements in a specific group. No, I think it fits our personal taste to meet the needs of our social aspirations. No, it seems to me the appropriate question to ask ourselves as we move forward in this thing called life: what could I do to be included in the people who identify as Jesus' friends? We call them Christ followers, friends of Jesus, you and I. And I think the simple answer is this: fear the Lord. In those places where you might be hiding from him and not honoring him, ask him to help you, to change, to see if you're being a good follower of Christ and that you are not diminished. It won't take something away from you, in fact, following Christ, and I would encourage you to talk to the Lord about it in details. And you can be very honest with him and to tell him the truth. After all, he knows everything about you anyhow. He created you. Now, it could go something like this: "Lord, I'm really afraid that if I yield to you, there's some things about my life that I need to change, and I don't know if I want to tell you about them or not," or something like that. But then you could say, "Lord, would you help me? Because there's some parts of my journey, my faith journey, that is really dark. I'm ashamed sometimes to bring them to you. And I'm concerned maybe what other people would think too, would say, because how others have perceived me." especially ones that mean a great deal to me. Well, I think it just would be a start to be open. And you can do it. Jesus talked about going in your prayer closet. You don't need anybody but you and Jesus in your prayer closet. That's all. It's not like a Roman Catholic priest sitting on the other side with a confessional. No, no. You can do it right. You can do it when you're gardening. You can do it when you're driving down the road. You can do it when you're walking and talking with the Lord, which I do a lot. And He likes talking to me, and I like talking to Him. He will tell you the truth. And if you tell Him the truth, you can work through a lot of things. Now, I think Jesus isn't clever enough to discern for us, but He is. And you may not want to miss all the things that Jesus has for you. So learning to fear the Lord or to love the Lord with godly reverence is the heart of a prayer that was offered by the Apostle Paul to the church at Colossae. And I just want to review some of the scriptures from the English version of the New Testament that you need help maybe when you're talking to the Lord about your friendship with Him. And you need His wisdom, and it's a good place to start. Paul's prayer to the church at Colossae is in chapter 1, verses 9 and 10. It says this, "With these words, we continue to ask God to fill you with the knowledge of His will through all the wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives, so that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please Him in every way." Now, I think all of us would like to be filled with the knowledge that God has. What a change we'd experience if we had all the wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives. And I think the only way to live worthy for the Lord in His friendship, it's the only way, is to please Him. You know, He created us for fellowship with Him, so it's only right that we have fellowship with God, because that's what He created us for. So what happens when we become filled with knowledge of God's will through the Spirit-given understanding of the Scriptures? We begin bearing fruit in every good work and growing in the knowledge of God. That's why we come to church and the Bible studies and all that. We want to know and better understand the wisdom and the knowledge of God so that we can share it with others. I think the fruit of the Spirit is the tangible expression of our faith and in every good work that we do. It has to do with how we live, how we help, what we avoid, how we stand up to the culture around us, and as we grow to know God more and more. You see, it's just like kids when we have kids. God didn't give us an owner's manual for the kids. And it's the same with our relationship with God. Now, we do have an owner's manual to give it, but we got to exercise it. It's like we talk about in some of the recovery programs. It'll work if you work it. But the process that we've infused with stamina and wisdom that flows from the heaven's pipelines to us. In verse 11, it says, "Be strengthened with all power according to His glorious might." And maybe you're like me sometimes. You're feeling a little worn out. Tina and Travis told me that when I talked to them. You know, we're just tired. We're worn out. I think all of us experience that sometimes. I know I do. And that's what Paul's prayer is offered and answered for your life and my life, to discover a source of power that can be answered. Then you'll discover the source of power unknown to the world, because we are in the world, not of the world, is what Jesus told us. And the Lord will give you energy and wisdom to complete all the plans that He has for you. And He does have plans for you. He had plans for you while you were still in your mother's womb. But the results might be this. God fills you with the knowledge of His will. That's wisdom. We would live a life worthy of Him and please Him. We would bear fruit in every good work. We would grow even more in knowing Him. What a better way to have a friend is to get to know your friend more and more. And how do you do that? Spend more time with him. We are strengthened by His power and grace through the Holy Spirit, and we have great endurance and patience. Patience. I said, "Lord, I want patience. I want more of it, and I want it right now." But that's just the human nature in us. But endurance. You know, to keep on keeping on, perseverance. It's really a hard thing to do, but with God's love and grace, He'll give you that willingness to keep on keeping on. So we need endurance and we need wisdom to persevere through the seasons ahead. And we look at our life in the seasons behind us and we realize, wow, He was there with us all along the way, giving us wisdom and grace and perseverance to make it to where we are now. But we got a lot further to go. This is a journey, not a sprint. When we constantly call on our friend Jesus, He will answer the prayer that Paul had for the Colossian church. Strengthened with all power according to His glorious might, so that we might have endurance and patience. So what happens? Well, we somehow have a supernatural recording of our attitudes. Will it be like lightning and all that? Well, I don't know. But thankfulness comes along with joy. And if you notice what Paul said in verse 12, giving joyful thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance. You share in the inheritance of the kingdom of His holy people and the kingdom of light. You know about the kingdom of darkness. We're seeing it all around, not only in our country, but all over the world. I don't want to be a part of the kingdom of darkness. I want to be a partner with the kingdom of light. So our friend Jesus has an inheritance waiting for those who persevere with joyful thanksgiving. In verse 13, he ends the paragraph with these words, "For He has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of His Son that He loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sin." In the Passover meal in the cup, and we talk about the third cup in the Passover meal, which is the cup of redemption. I like to call it the cup of salvation. But He has given us redemption for the shedding of His own blood, for the forgiveness of all of our sins. So the concept of redemption has to do with being delivered by paying of a price. It's just like if you hawk something, if you want to get it back, you got to go and pay the money to get it back, to redeem it. That's the redemption. Christ already paid the price for our redemption. That's why we don't need to walk in fear in this life. And we certainly don't need to be intimidated by the evil that's all around us.